You're listening to Vatican Radio.
With 21 million viewers, 30,000 downloads on YouTube, and millions of Facebook followers each week, Sat7 Christian Satellite TV is preparing to launch yet another project. It's called Sat7 Academy, and it aims to respond to the urgent needs of refugees and internally displaced persons in the Middle East and in North Africa. Propelled by the newly founded Sat7 Education and Development Entity, this educational channel has been conceived to address the physical, emotional, relational, and intellectual aspects of the region's children, parents, and teachers, and provide a much-needed tool to tackle the education gap in the Middle East, especially in war-torn Syria. Passing through Rome for talks with partners inside and outside the Vatican, Kurt Johansen, the executive director of Sat7 in Europe and in Asia, told me that in over 20 years of service, Sat7 has become a vital lifeline for millions, as it provides information, entertainment and culture to displaced people and Christian minorities in difficult situations.
Sat7 is a Christian TV station in the Middle East. We broadcast on 4 different TV channels 24 hours a day on satellites. Satellite TV is the media of the Middle East. More than 300 million have access to satellite TV. So this is actually the first time in world history that we can go into 300 million homes with a Christian message. Produced in the Middle East, we have studios in Egypt, in Lebanon, in Turkey. And we have been able to unite all the churches. Orthodox, Catholic and Protestant churches are all behind Sat7 from 19 different countries. So it's really to show the unity in the diversity of Middle East churches.
And your programs cover a broad spectrum of issues as well.
Yeah, we try to be covering all aspects of life. Of course, first of all, the teaching of the church, the Bible, trying to be the voice of the church and of the Christians, but also what it means to be a Christian, especially to be a minority Christian. We're trying to give the Christians more identity, perhaps more legitimacy in a very difficult situation. So it's also about how to apply the faith in the daily life.
Would you, for example, pick up on what the Pope says about Christians in the Middle East and do interviews or programs on issues like that?
Oh, yeah. We were... But the Pope was in Cairo recently. We covered that 24 hours a day live. He's very popular in the Middle East, and the message of peace and inclusion is very needed. It's very important. And I think he just spoke the way that all Christians would like to hear. And I think he spoke very nicely to the non-Christians as well, and made a beautiful impact in a very troubled region.
You were mentioning to me that you've just come through first Lebanon and then Turkey. You've been to visit refugee camps, and mentioning that your programs go out to a lot of non-Christians as well. Would you like to tell me?
According to independent surveys, most of our viewers are actually non-Christians. They have the chance now to see what are these Christians talking about. Who are they? Most people in the Middle East will never meet a Christian. They will never see a church. They will never see a Bible. So satellite TV is the only way that they can somehow get acquainted or getting more information about what is Christianity and who are these Christians. There are many misunderstandings about Christians in the Middle East, that they don't belong here, they are spies for a foreign government, and so on and so on. So it's very important to show an Arabic version of Christianity, that Christians have been here for almost 2,000 years. They have contributed a lot, still have a lot to contribute to this society. So we are covering a lot of different subjects and trying to bring the church out on the marketplace to show what is the church, how are they doing social work, how are they perhaps involving into human rights issues, politics, and so on.
I know you have a specific mission towards education and towards infancy, childhood, etc. Yeah. But before getting to that, are Muslims, would you say, generally interested in hearing what the message of the gospel is and hearing what is it that these Christians are all about?
I guess so, because they have a free choice to watch our channels or not. And if they like to see it, it must mean that they have an interest. And if they continue to watch it, it must imply that they have a huge interest in this. So I think in many ways we are building bridges to the non-Christians, and I think also that we are opening the eyes of non-Christians to what is real Christianity, and we are eliminating a lot of misunderstandings that non-Christians have about Christians.
You're also reaching out to so many refugees, many of them trapped for years and years in refugee camps with no future in sight as yet. What are you offering them, and you know, what can they gain from watching your programs?
For 2 years now, we've been broadcasting 10 hours a day of educational programs. So children can learn how to read and write, mathematics, science, and life skills in front of their TV. There are millions of kids who are not in school and have not been in school for years and will probably not be in school for the coming years as well. It's a lost generation.
And it's above all of Syrian refugees.
Especially Syrian. You know, in Syria, more than 4,000 schools have been closed. Millions of kids are displaced in Turkey, in Jordan, in Lebanon, without access to any services. I just came back from Lebanon. I visited a number of camps. They had nothing, really. They were in tents. It was very cold. They had hardly any shoes. But every tent had a satellite dish and a TV. So that's how they spent the whole day, in front of the television. And the kids can also learn how to read and write through our programs.
It also keeps them in touch with their own reality as well.
Yeah.
It helps them understand what's going on in the world otherwise.
Yeah, it gives them some kind of introduction to what's going on in the world, and also some, you know, some normality, that they feel that we're part of the world. We may be displaced in the middle of nowhere. No one likes us here. But on this virtual TV, they can feel somehow being part of the world. It's actually our vision to have a 24-hour educational channel from 1st of September. We still need the financial side to be okay. We're moving slowly towards a 24-hour educational channel.
Is that why you're in Rome today?
It's one of the reasons I'm in Rome today. Yes. Yes.
So tell me about coming to Rome. Who are your interlocutors going to be here?
I'm in contact with Propaganda Fide, with TV 2000, with the Bishops' Conference and other Catholic congregations here, like the Congregation for Social Media. So I come here once a year to inform about what we're doing and maybe also to get some responses and feedback from the Catholic Church. On this trip to Lebanon, I also was escorted by the Catholic Media Council in Germany. So we are in close contact with many Catholic churches all over the world.
Now, this project you're speaking of, it's School on Air program, it's called, am I correct?
Yeah.
How many languages is it going to go out, and to which countries?
It's all in Arabic. There are 20 countries where the Arabic is the language. So actually, that's easy for us to go out to 20 countries in one language. Our programs are targeted towards the Syrian refugees, so it will be in Arabic. But according to the independent surveys, actually a lot of our viewers are in Egypt, and we didn't really understand that in the beginning because they were not a target group. But it's probably because education system in Egypt is also very poor. If you cannot afford to send your child to a private school, the education is usually very, very poor. No books, hardly any teachers, a lot of people, students in the same class. So we can complement the public schools in Egypt, in other countries as well.
How exactly does the program work?
So far we are covering the kindergarten level and grade one and grade two. That's what we can do in 10 hours a day. And we're covering Arabic, mathematics, science, a bit of English, but also life skills, as we call it, to include others, to love your neighbor, to behave well, to have ideas and be creative and so on. And because we have the best teachers in our studios, because we can add cartoons and songs and so on, we can make it very attractive and very unlike the normal school situation in the Middle East. So we believe that we can teach millions of kids, give them a hope, and feel that they are loved by someone. And hopefully they can go back to school someday in Syria and continue from there. But, of course, it doesn't look very easy. It looks like this war will go on for a long time. I'm sorry to say this.
I think the most precious tool you can give a person in a refugee camp is education. It's a safe space, not only it occupies their time in a constructive way, it gives them the skills to go on and build a future. So I think it's vital. How are your relationships with the various governments in these countries? Are you encouraged? Are you helped? Are you supported?
We are very keen to work with the local governments. We're very keen to work with the local NGOs like the Jesuit Orders and others, so we can complement their works. There are some schools in this area, not enough, by far not enough. But we also want to work with those schools who are there, and we want to get the feedback from our partners, and we want to get the inspiration, and we want to have a kind of win-win situation with these partners on the ground. So we have, I think, about 20 partners on the ground that we are working with, but also, of course, with the government, with the UN system, with UNICEF, and so on. That's key to our success, I think.
You obviously are successful because, if I'm not mistaken, last year you marked 20 years of activity. Yeah. That's a success story in itself. Yeah. Where do you hope to go from here?
I mean, it is a success story. We have survived 20 years. The independent viewership research said we had about 21 million viewers. We are also now on social media. We have every day 30,000 downloads on YouTube of our programs. Millions of Facebook hits and so on. So I guess social media is one of the future goals for us. But also we like to do much more in Turkey. The Christians in Turkey are very few and have a very difficult situation. At the moment we have about 35 staff in Turkey producing TV programs almost round the clock, but we need to do more in Turkey as well. So Turkey is also one of our priorities.
You're coming from Istanbul as we speak.
I came this morning from Istanbul and visited our staff and saw our studio. It's really difficult times in Turkey, but that's why there's a high need of a Christian voice in this society. And the good news is that Seven has been allowed to have a channel on the Turksat satellite systems, were actually owned by the Turkish government. So we are operating with permission from the Turkish government. So we are very grateful for the Turkish government to give us this opportunity as a minority to promote ourselves.
What gives you personally the drive to go forward with this work? You must encounter a lot of difficulties.
Yeah, I've been with Seven now for 17 years, and there is a lot of difficulties. It's difficult to be an optimist in the Middle East, but as I see it, if we give up, we can't give up. We cannot allow to give up. We still have possibility, a duty to bring love and hope and the witness of Christ to this region. The message of forgiveness and inclusion is very, very, very important. Without the message of forgiveness, I can't see any end to this circle of violence and attacks and hate that we see in the Middle East at this time.
Has Pope Francis's message and his presence made a difference?
He is very, very popular. And the message he brought about peace and dialogue is extremely appreciated and extremely important at this time. You may remember there have been attacks on the churches recently. In Palm Sunday, 44 were killed, another 20 were killed. So it's a very crucial, it's a very difficult time for the Christians of Egypt. So the visit encouraged them a lot. And also we saw that the Pope invited the Orthodox and the Protestants to be part of this. So it also brought the churches closer to each other. And that's very important and very appreciated.
That was Kurt Johansson, the executive director of SAT7 in Europe and in Asia.